Today marks the beginning of World Breastfeeding Week. And you may recall last week, towards the end of the week, we reported the fantastic news that there'd been such a big spike in the number of South African mothers who were breastfeeding their children up to 6 months of age. It was a 350% plus increase that had been noted over the past 20 years. And we celebrated that fact last week. But among the comments we received in feedback that day were a number of tweets and emails and SMSs from audience members saying, I found it really difficult to keep on breastfeeding after I went back to work. I just not could not make it work for me. And it's something we want to pick up on today as we mark the start of World Breastfeeding Week, because there's actually been a call from an organization representing dozens of civil society groups. It's called the South African Civil Society for Women's, Adolescents and Children's Health, a blanket organization that has put out a call for society in general and workplaces in particular to do more to support breastfeeding at every possible level, allowing moms to breastfeed anywhere, anytime, anyhow. We want to pick up today, and we're going to be chatting to two guests on this issue. First of all, I have Catherine Day, who's a registered dietitian at the Association for Dietitians of South Africa. She's a spokesperson for ADSA. I'm also joined by Chantel Witten, who is speaking for that coalition I mentioned. Chantel is a lecturer in the nutrition department at Northwest University. Good afternoon to both of you. Thanks so much for joining us. And Catherine, I'm going to start with you, as I may, as the dietitian. We know that breastfeeding is so good for babies. Breast is best is the saying that we've heard for decades now already. But make the case for us about why it's so important that women should be encouraged to breastfeed for as long as possible. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you very much for having me today, Pippa. So yes, breastfeeding is the most optimal source of nutrition for little infants, and you know, it's complete nutrition. You don't need to add anything to it, and it's absolutely amazing that every mom's milk actually differs from one another, and that's because the body somehow knows to make a specific mix of milk that's perfect for that infant. So, you know, if the infant needs a little bit more protein, then that mother's breast milk will be a little bit higher in protein. And isn't that just absolutely amazing?
It is indeed. Now, Catherine, one of the issues that ADSA has flagged as one of its key focus areas for World Breastfeeding Week this year is the issue of women feeding back in the workplace. So mothers, once they've gone back to work, what their rights are in terms of our legislation and what the challenges are that nevertheless prevent them from breastfeeding despite those rights. It's something, Chantel, I'm going to bring you in as well here. Welcome to you, Chantel Witten, because it's a very similar message to what your coalition flagged in the statement yesterday. Let me start by asking Catherine, I know you've got the summary for us on what our rights are in terms of our employment legislation in South Africa. Won't you remind us what the law specifically says about breastfeeding mothers?
Sure. So there's the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which legally allows mothers 2 30-minute breaks to either breastfeed if the infant is lucky enough to be on site and in a creche at near the workplace, or for that mother to express if the infant is younger than 6 months old.
So up to the age of 6 months, that protection is there in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Chantel, if I may bring you in here, you went on to mention that there is a code of good practice for employees, which really further urges them to make sure that those provisions are seen to. Is that correct?
That's correct, Pippa, and thank you very much for having the coalition online. Yes, it's in the Employment Act. So it's part of the regulations that is the Basic Conditions of Employment. The Code of Good Practice is always interpreted as if it's a nice thing to do. But it's not a nice thing to do. Women have the right to call on the 2 breastfeeding breaks that Catherine spoke about. Mm. And in fact, it says arrangements should be made for pregnant and breastfeeding moms. So when we talk about breastfeeding moms, those arrangements include a private and safe space. We wouldn't like the debacle that happened at UCT to be repeated for any mom. It's very humiliating. It's not a nice, it's already a stressful situation when you're trying to breastfeed and then you have a hostile environment. So you need a safe and private space. We would like moms to have a clean space. So we don't want moms in storerooms, in toilets, under the stairwell, under tables. And these are the kind of conditions women are faced with.
They are indeed. And I mean, often when we've had this conversation, women have pointed to that fact that they were asked and expected to breastfeed or to express in a toilet. And who wants to eat their lunch in a bathroom? Catherine, what would you add to that list? A private, safe and clean space would seem to be the very least that an employer could provide for breastfeeding moms. But what else would you urge employers to consider implementing to support breastfeeding women in the workplace?
So the whole expression sort of space is the one element, as you mentioned, but they also need to provide other things like refrigeration space so that mothers can keep their milk safe, at least stored. And it's very important as well, if mothers are using pumps, that there's an electricity outlet for that pump to be used. And then also just a clean, safe space to, you know, wash the pump parts. It seems so silly, but, you know, all those things really mean so much. And employers really need to step up and to provide this for the mothers, because they need to be able to keep their talent at their company. Otherwise, you know, they might lose that talent at the end of the day if a mother can't breastfeed.
Catherine Day, thanks for your input. Registered dietitian and a spokesperson for ADSA, the Association for Dietitians in SA. Chantelle Whitten, representing that coalition of South African Civil Society for Women's, Adolescents and Children's Health. You've called on employers to create enabling, supportive environments, saying that you want them to help reduce needless stress and strain. It tells us that there is a need for this kind of intervention. The fact that a long, long list of members, everyone from the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund to Love Life to ADSA, which is also a member of the conglomerate, South African Breast Milk Reserve, UNICEF, the universities. It's a list of very weighty organizations, and the fact that they feel the need to put their weight behind this message tells me that perhaps we have a problem. Do you think that in general, South African businesses are not conducive to supporting breastfeeding moms?
Absolutely, Papa. I think that when we just look at our breastfeeding rates, firstly, we have one of the lowest breastfeeding rates globally. And in fact, on the African continent, we hang our heads in shame. So it means that women are not able to effectively implement the 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding and then the continued breastfeeding up to 2 years. And we know that most moms return back to work. And a lot of our moms are not in high-paying positions. They are domestic workers. They're working in informal, you know, informal markets. So when we say employers and society must come together, we really mean that. We're really looking at how can we as a country start to support women to breastfeed, because it does have health benefits, but it also have economic development benefits. And I heard Catherine speaking about some of the additional things we would like to see women have access to, like fridges.
Yes.
But we're going with the real basic message. We know moms can express for 24 hours, keep the breast milk in a cooler box, take it home, feed it the same day, or they can refrigerate it. So for us, we are not trying to put pressure on employers. A lot of employers on social media have been saying, but it's so expensive. How do we expect a one business to keep women, you know, on maternity leave for 6 months? We are saying that this should be an investment in children and investment in women. And the return on investment has been proven. So we don't need to make the case anymore for breastfeeding. We need to now make the case of how do we do it? How do we get moms to have this enabling environment?
Chantelle Whitten, thank you for your contribution. Speaking for that coalition, the South African Civil Society for Women's, Adolescents and Children's Health.
Cape Talk.
The Daily News Diary.
With that, let's say good afternoon to Wesley Peterson and find out about the big news stories of the day.
Thanks, Pepper. Well, of course, the big story in a court in Johannesburg, just looking at that application by the Reserve Bank against the finding of the public protector that its mandate needs to change. That's one of the big ones. But then also the Reserve Bank governor is in at Parliament. He's before SCOPA, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, just briefing that committee. At the same time, the SABC Interim Board is before a parliamentary committee, and they've already said this morning that they will be going after the pensions of James Aguma and Claudia Motsoeneng, because it had cost the SABC money, their policies. Now, this all happens while Claudia Motsoeneng is taking the SABC to the CCMA. So we're keeping an eye on all of those stories and how they all fit together. Then some of the other big ones, we've already this morning reported on a cash heist in Paro, and that's related to a social grants outlet that was targeted. And then, of course, there's an interesting case in Johannesburg. We are looking at an SA banknote company strike. How would that affect our money?
That's an interesting one. Look forward to hear more on that story. Wesley Peterson, thanks so much. We'll be back with the Eyewitness News headlines at 1:30. I'm interested to hear from the moms in our audience who did go back to work while they were still breastfeeding, whether your place of employment ticked all the boxes you've just heard mentioned. Did you find that you were well supported to carry on breastfeeding? If not, what was the issue? Was it a lack of space? Was it a lack of privacy? Was it simply there was no capacity for fridge space or whatever? I mean, I can't imagine that a company can't find space for a tiny bar fridge, if that. But maybe, you know, if it's, we're talking small businesses under cash pressure, perhaps you can make that case. Tell me about your experiences. Is it something that was just too difficult? It was for me. I had, I was in a management position, so I had my own office. I had privacy of a closed door and time to be able to express. I had fridge space. I had all those things they just mentioned. And even so, I just found it all too much. I found it incredibly difficult. It wasn't for lack of support from the employer. It was just too much for me to manage. But what was your experience? If you'd like to tell us, you can call me on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567.